Tony, episode 5, brother.
5. I like the number 5. I was born on May 5th, so 5 is good.
Well, that's great. That's a good omen, right?
Yeah, 5-5.
So, we are still reeling, guys, from, last week's news. And, we had a pretty big week for the round 14 podcast. Again, for those of you who did not know, and I don't know how you do not know because we posted it everywhere. Sly is following round 14 podcast. And once again, Mr. Stallone, we appreciate it.
Thank you, sir. Thank you.
Yeah.
Very awesome. So,
but, we got a lot of exciting things coming up, guys. Tony,
yeah, we gotta be on our game.
I think, we can all agree that, we gotta raise the bar.
Yeah. We have to definitely, be on our game, be on our toes, make sure that the gentleman's entertained and all of our followers. I hate to say that, you know, obviously he's not the only one.
No, that's right.
But we do want, you know, we want to be professional for everybody, but let's face facts. When one of the biggest movie stars alive in the last 50 years is following your podcast, you definitely want to make sure you're on your game. So very cool. Very cool stuff.
All right. So the other thing is we have some other news that, is kind of exciting too. We have joined a new network for the Round 14 podcast. We are you can now find us on the Last of the Action Heroes podcast network. So they reached out to us and they've got some great, podcasts on there. And they asked us to join the network. So you can find us on Spotify. You can find us on Apple iTunes. So you want to take us with us in the car. That's great too.
Yeah. I mean, if you're driving to work, you know, you want to look at our ugly faces and you want to just pop it on the radio and listen to what we have to say, which is better.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's pretty cool. You know, Ryan reached out to us, asked us to be on that podcast or a collection of podcasts, I should say. So it's pretty interesting. And they have a bunch of stuff. I mean, Stallone, Schwarzenegger, you know,
Bruce Willis, Tarantino, right? So it's all kinds of great stuff.
Very cool.
And I mean, you want to throw the kids in the car and you want to get them to sleep, put on the Round 14 podcast out like a light.
Leave me alone, kids. I'm listening to this. Yeah. More important. Too funny. But yeah, it's not all Rocky stuff. It is, you know, all action heroes.
That's
action heroes. We have the Rocky and Rambo stuff here. So that's, you know, well, that's what we start off with, I should say, right? Mm-hmm. Start off with the Rocky and Rambo stuff. You know, so speaking of the Rocky, we have, this week we're going to talk about some Rocky quotes. And, Rocky quotes can really impact your life lessons or follow through with life lessons. I mean, they are, you see them in the films. And they are applying to him, you know, I mean, let's face facts. They're all the same thing about going one step further, going one round further, whatever it may be, going one day further. But you can apply it to everything. I mean, I had, a lot of family members that had illnesses and diseases and, you know, medical reasons that it helped them. Or it could be something as, you know, just trying to get through a tough month where you're, you know, your job's getting on you or finances are getting on you or whatever the case may be. So came up with a few of them. They're in no particular order whatsoever. We just talked about just a handful and then we could probably make 2 full episodes of all the quotes that we talk about. But the first one we're going to talk about is from Rocky 3, when Rocky and Adrian are on the beach and he yells to her, "Nothing is real if you don't believe in who you are." Mm-hmm. And, I mean, come on, being a parent, and you are as well, Tim.
That's right.
I mean, I've actually said that to my daughters. So they always call me out though when I do quote Rocky. So that's the kind of funny part about it. They're like, "All right, Dad, with the Rocky, I know, I get it." I tell them later on when they get older, they'll understand.
Yeah, it's very true though. I mean, that whole scene, right? Like she knows that, you know, there's something that's in there that he won't admit, right? And she drags it out of him until she gets him to admit that, you know, he's never going to focus on what he has to do, right? So that, you know, if you don't believe in yourself, that quote is, I mean, that's a quote for life. Absolutely.
Well, yeah. I mean, think about it. If you're going, you know, you're in college or you're at a new job or a new relationship, whatever the case may be. And if you're not real, nothing is real if you don't believe in who you are. If I don't believe in myself, like he says, I don't believe myself no more. It don't matter. That's it. It's over. It's finished. That's it.
Yeah.
And then she yells at him. That's not it.
but I mean, it's
true though. It's very true.
And again, then he gets to the point where he just screams, "I'm afraid." Right? I'm afraid.
Oh my God, that blew my mind when he said that.
And then she says there's nothing wrong with being afraid, right? You're human, aren't you?
Yeah, for me, there is.
I don't know what I am, right? So, I mean, that's why they made the perfect team, right? And that, I mean, that whole scene was, that was pretty, you know, substantial for him.
Well, it was great too. I mean, again, we're going all, drifting a little bit from the quotes, but I mean, but it's true. I mean, Adrian really, really blossomed, you know, in two, she kind of blossomed where she was, you know, I really don't want you to fight anymore. And she was kind of telling him what she wanted. But by three, when she wanted him to retire and he did, you know, and then when, once she saw that was going on, like, look, why are you doing this? If you don't want to do it, that's fine.
Yeah.
You know, but don't do it for the wrong reasons.
Yeah.
And she, you know, she got tough. She stood her ground, you know, she came out of her shell. I loved it. I thought it was a fantastic scene. The other one we have is from Rocky IV. There's a couple of Rocky IVs on here. And this one actually isn't from Rocky. This one's from Duke. Yeah. When Duke saw Rocky in the cabin when they first got to Russia, and he tells him about how he's going to have to go through hell, but he knows he'll be the one standing in the end, you know?
Yeah.
And, let's face facts. I mean, my God, come on. That whole speech that he gives him, you know, everybody has felt that in some way that they had to go through hell. You know, and be in the end, they'll be standing, you know, I actually literally told my sister that when she had breast cancer, literally told her that word for word.
Right.
I said, I know in the end, you'll be the one standing.
Right.
And she is 3 years clean of cancer. Oh,
that's great. That's,
you know?
That's
but amazing. I mean, I don't want to bring a, you know, negativity to it, but it's important to see that how it can really inspire a lot in life. I mean, it's amazing, you know, disease or death or divorce or anything, and it's usually something like that that wakes you up. Like, you know what? Yeah, I'm going to have to go through all this crap, but I can do it. I can move forward and do it.
Yeah.
And, so another one there is from Rocky IV. We talked about, which is when Rocky's talking to his son, you know, and he's giving him a speech when he asks him if he's afraid, you know, this boy, are you afraid? I'd be afraid if a giant man wanted to beat me up. And I love the honesty of a kid.
Ask a kid, right? Ask a kid and they'll give you the honest truth.
Oh, God, yeah. Oh, absolutely.
I mean, look at the quote, the post that Sly just put out there, right? And his daughter on the set of Rambo, right? And she says,
how funny was that?
You got, you can't be too careful and you can't come in here because you're too dirty.
You're too dirty.
Right? That was amazing, right? Just to see that footage.
So funny is that he's Rambo, full Rambo, you know, get up. And his daughters are just like, Daddy, you're dirty. Yeah, come in. Dirty. It's awesome. But, so anyway, Rocky tells his son about going one more round because going that one more round can make all the difference in your life. And again, very true. I mean, these are not, I don't want to downplay them by saying that they're not, you know, anything that is, because they are special. They're special to every rockhead out there. They're special to a lot of people. Anybody that's involved in fitness, it gets inspired by Rocky isms, I guess you could say, or Rocky quotes. But I mean, you know, Martin Luther King said the speech, you know, if you can't crawl, walk, if you can't walk, fly, if you can just keep going forward, get there.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the point. Keep going forward and you'll get there. Next one was a little different on that. Keep going, you know, and one more round and all. It was the end of Rocky IV when he told everybody that if he can change, anybody can change.
Yeah.
You know, and obviously, you know, the scene that he says that in. An entire arena and country hates this man, you know, and he comes in there and beats their champion.
That's right.
And, the crowd is actually cheering for him.
Yeah.
I mean, it's kind of crazy and bizarre, but I mean, it goes to show you, you know, if
you won them over, right? You won them over with heart.
They saw him as a person.
Yeah.
They didn't see him as the American that was coming in to beat their champion. They saw the heart he had. They saw the drive he had. They saw the desire he had. And when you get to know somebody as a person, it's very different than I just don't like that guy because he's Russian.
Yeah.
I don't like that guy because he's American.
I like though, I mean, as important as that scene is, you get the little bit of the Rocky thrown in to it because, you know, he says, when I got here, I didn't like you much. None either. Much none either. So
you gotta love
that's just Rocco from the neighborhood, right?
Oh, exactly.
Just throws it in, but he mixes it in and it makes it that, you know, Hollywood drama. But I mean, you're right though. That quote is, that's great.
And you know what? That's a lot of reason why a lot of people can relate to him. Because he is like that. Mm-hmm. You know, he's not the perfect speaking English. He's not the perfect this and that, you know, much none either. I mean, everybody's like, oh yeah, I've used poor English before, you know, but it is an amazing quote because he's right. I mean, if I can change, anybody can change.
Yeah.
Do you want to change? Is really what it comes down to. Make you a better person. We have two more, so we're not going to dwell too much on the quotes. We might touch base on them another episode. Mm-hmm. You can leave in the comments below if you like the quotes and talk about why they are meaningful, and we can continue doing them because there's plenty of them. I mean, there's
we could have a top 10 on Rocky quotes.
Oh, great. See, look, Tim came up with a great idea already. but the next one there is when he's talking to Adrian about, you know, he knows he's not going to win, but all he wants to do is go the distance to show everybody he's not just another bum from the neighborhood.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's, you know, speaks volumes.
Yep.
You know, he knows he's going to get crushed.
Mm-hmm.
He knows. He's like, I'm not going to beat this guy. He's the champion of the world. Mm-hmm. He's a class of fighter that I'm not even in the class of.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to be standing at the end of the fight.
Yeah.
That's all I want to be. That's it. Mm-hmm. And then at that point, I will show I am not just another bum.
Yeah.
And we've all felt like that in some form or another.
Yeah.
Regardless of what you do for a living or what you do in life. We all want to show people like, look, I'm not just some other guy. I can do this. May not win at doing it, or I may not be the best at doing it, but I can do it.
And I think we want to teach that to our children, right? Those you have children.
Oh, God.
Tony, absolutely. You have children. I have children.
Absolutely.
We want to instill that in them. Say, look, just give me your best.
You know?
As long as you try.
No, I teach my girls that all the time. My younger daughter's into soccer and, you know, she plays high school soccer. And fitness competitions. And I tell her all the time, you know, she's like, oh, well, we lost 2-1, you know, but, you know, but, you know, look how you lost. You know, look, you got better. You got this, you got better shots at goal. Mm-hmm. You know, you didn't stay out of the game or whatever it may be. Yeah. You just want to go the distance, like he says.
Yeah.
And last but not least, my all time favorite quote, which I'm sure is many Rockheads' favorites quotes. With this here, to be honest with you, this is when I saw this for the first time in Rocky Balboa, the keep moving forward speech.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't been touched or moved by a speech in a film like that. And I can't even tell you how long. I don't even know if I ever was.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't mean a line didn't touch me or whatever, but it's amazing. It was so well written and describes everything you would want to tell your child about life.
Mm-hmm.
Because it is, you know, I mean, nobody hits as hard as life.
No,
nobody.
That's right.
Nobody. I don't care what you got going on in your life. No, you could be successful, rich, perfect physical condition, and then you get hit by a car, you know, and you're in a hospital for 3 months. I mean, whatever the case may be, nobody's going to hit as hard as life. Like he says, like the man says, but it ain't how hard you get hit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's how you keep moving forward.
Yeah.
I mean, that's all it is keep moving forward. You're going to have to deal with it. You're going to have to push it aside, but you got to keep moving forward.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just, that sums up the whole saga as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, that's right. Like, and you can't make a speech like that until he gets to that age or, you know,
very
or
true.
Your son is questioning Rocky's intentions. Right?
Yeah.
And
well, very true about the age. True. Yeah.
And that's just the truth that Rocky has for his son. Like, he's not sugarcoating it by any means, right?
No,
he's giving
it
to him straight. And I think we all want that in life.
Yeah.
Right? Don't
absolutely
just be honest with us.
And I love the fact that in the beginning, when he first tells him, you know, you can't believe this, but he used to fit right here.
Yeah.
And every parent. Yeah. And his son gives him like the old eye. Oh, here we go.
Yeah.
You know, but I love that around the middle of the speech, Robert's eyes are starting to glass up. He's starting to get teary eyed. He's realizing what his father's saying is, you know, is true and his life altering. And from what I understand, I would love to ask him this. From what I understand, that speech was pretty much written before it was written. From what I read, he gave that speech to his son.
Mm-hmm.
And he kind of, whether it was verbatim or a version of, I don't know, but I would love to find out. But either way, he wrote the words either way. I mean, so.
Sure.
It's amazing. Amazing. I mean, couldn't be, you know, from the underdog of the world to say, keep moving forward to your son, you know, who better to listen to? Come on. Look what the guy did. Whether you know, and you always think your parents are crazy, you know, cause we kind of are. But I mean, when he accomplished what he accomplished, you have no choice but to listen to the guy.
Yeah. And I mean, not to get off topic of the quotes, but when we see him show up at the grave the next day and he says, you get off early from work.
Yeah.
No, I just didn't belong. Like he gets it, right? He got through to him. Yep. And he says, what are you going to do? He says, well, right now I'd rather be with you.
Yeah.
And I don't care who you are. What, you know, no parent is going to see that and get emotional, right? Like at the end of the day, you have your kids, and if that's what they tell you, you've done something right.
Yep. Oh, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Right. It was great. Well, the best part of the movie, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
Best part of the movie. Yeah. You know, proving that the underdogs can be on top.
Yeah. Well, speaking of underdogs, since we're on that subject, we had a lot of fun last week putting a top 10 together. So we thought we would segue this into, underdog movies. And boy, Tony, there's a lot of them, right? We were back and forth on this.
But what's the key of the underdog movies? No Rocky.
No.
Right?
That's right.
Top 10 underdog movies that are not Rocky.
Yeah. And there, you know what? There's a lot of them.
All six of them.
There's a lot of them, right? Yeah. If we were doing the underdog, we'd just do Rocky and good night, everybody. But
right, exactly.
We dug a little deeper. We worked a little hard for you this week, people. So, you know, go ahead, Tony, and kick us off the list here.
Well, just like last week, you know, the top 10 is not based on number 10 to number one. The number one movie we mentioned is not the best underdog film other than Rocky. We just put him in a group of 10 films. So the first one we came up with was Cinderella Man with Russell Crowe and Renee Zellweger. And it was a boxing movie. I know. But it was a good story. It was a very good story. And hopefully, most of you saw that. I mean, you saw it, Tim, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. It was a great movie.
It was a very good movie. You know, it's hard to make a boxing movie that you can feel like that about, because you're starting to, you know, every time you see a boxing movie, it's, you know, Rocky and stuff. And, but it was a little different of a story. I mean, so it was very well done. But that was our number 10 underdog story. Mm-hmm. Number 9, we did The Natural. With Robert Redford. And the reason why we did this one here is because, I mean, even though he's an underdog, even though it's a baseball movie, he was an underdog because of his age.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, he was not 20 years old coming into the big leagues. He was, you know, old as the head coach. The manager was probably 50 years old, and so was Robert Redford, you know, but he made it on the team. And, you know, again, guys, every time we talk about these movies, we'll give you the little disclosure.
Yeah.
I mean, Tim, we're not telling them something that, you know, is secret in the movies, you know.
But think about that. Think about The Natural. How many times has somebody said, oh, you're too old? You know, you're too old. You're never too old to try something, right? You never – look at us. Look at us. We're trying to podcast.
Too old to have a podcast. Well, there's not a lot of physicality in the podcast.
No, that's true. But, boy, I'm tell you, after an episode, I'm mentally wiped out, though.
Oh, man. So that was number 9. Number 8, we went with The Longest Yard with Mr. Burt Reynolds or Mr. Adam Sandler. Personally, my age group, I prefer Burt Reynolds.
Yep.
Great movie. Great movie. Yeah. And I told Tim the last time we talked about this, I have not seen the remake.
Yeah.
So I will have to see the remake, and we'll have to maybe talk about, some remake movies, maybe an whole episode on remakes.
But at our age, Tony, the funny thing is the movies that we grew up with, they're remaking them, right?
I know. So it's crazy.
It's, like I said, they're out of ideas.
Well, you know, what's funny too is when you're younger, you sometimes don't even really realize a movie was remade.
No, that's right. That's right.
And you know, I remember watching
the movie and my dad would say, oh, that's a remake. I said, what are you talking about? Just come out. No, it came out 25 years ago. What are you talking about?
So you never know. But I mean, The Longest Yard with Burt Reynolds, I mean, it is classic.
Yeah.
You know, they're just a bunch of misfits. They shouldn't even be on the ball field.
No.
You know, they do some good things. Good movie. Yeah. Very good movie.
Yeah,
and guys, if you hear us mention a movie and you haven't seen it and you're worried about the spoilers, you know, we apologize in advance, I guess, but these movies are 30, 40, 50 years old. So I'm sorry. you should either have seen them by now or, you know, I don't know what to tell you.
You had your turn.
Yeah, exactly.
You had your turn.
So, let's see what we got here. Number seven. We have Remember the Titans.
Oh, good.
With Mr. Denzel Washington.
Good movie, right? important time, right? Like this is this is a great movie.
Very, very good movie. You know, it's very inspirational. Obviously, like Tim said, the time it was made in, you know, a lot of black and white, civil, rights going on and racism going on and segregation going on.
Yeah.
Great film. Great. I mean, Denzel Washington alone, you know, great period. But, you know, the movie that was put on there very well.
I think the scene that it was really early on in the movie, you know, he got both buses. And you got the colored people on one bus, you got the white people on the other bus, and he's standing there looking at him, and he gets on there and he gets everybody off. And he says, I don't care if you're black, white, blue, green. I want all my offense on this bus. I want all my defense on this bus.
That's it.
And he says, you're rooming with this guy. I want to know three things. Buy dinner, about your roommate. I don't care. We'll be here all night. You know what? And look at it worked. You know,
oh, God. Yeah. Back. Oh, how great was that?
Came back from the camp and.
How great was that? You're right? On offense together. You have to be a team. You have to be brothers. Exactly.
Yeah. Like, I mean, and that's life, right? You may not always like the person you're working with. You might not always like the person you're doing stuff with, but you got to figure it out.
Yeah, exactly. Right? You're on the same team. Figure it out. So let's see. We got here 10, 9, 8, 7, 6. Number six. Number six is The Rookie.
Oh, yeah.
Another aging baseball player movie. And the reason why this one's on here is a couple of reasons why this one's on here. This poster, shows, it's supposed to, you can't really read the tagline there. It says, you're never too old to go after your dreams. And the funny part about this, I'll segue off into this. This really has nothing to do with any of these movies, but every time I see this movie, I get a little indigestion. I wrote a script years ago, in 97, I think 99, and Gina and I, Mrs. Stallion, and I moved out to California for a whopping year. And I pitched that it was called Glory Days, about an aging baseball player, to Jerry Bruckheimer. And it was about a guy who married his college sweetheart. They got pregnant before they wanted to. He couldn't pursue baseball. He had to come up, be a family man. And it was some kind of little shtick going on where the team was offering tryouts to anybody, no matter who, and to replace, you know, the third baseman or whatever it was. So anyway, I'm going off on things, but Mr. Bruckheimer did not take my script because he already bought The Rookie.
Right.
So every time I see The Rookie, I have to think of that and I have to tell that story. But it's a great story. It's a true story. The gentleman played for the Tampa Bay Devil Rays at the time. They were the Devil Rays.
Jimmy Morris.
Yep. And he was an aging star, and you know, everybody on the camp called him grandpa and stuff.
You the old guy? I'm the old guy.
The old guy. You know, great film. Great. I love when he throws the ball past the speed radar sign.
Yeah. That's great. And that's the little bit of Hollywood throwing in there. Like you know, it's like, geez, I'm throwing when he's, what was it? 78?
78.
He walks back, picks up the ball, and they come back, and it was 98, right? So
that's awesome. I mean, that's so awesome. But yeah, good movie, guys. Good feel good movie. You know, again, rooting for the underdog. Everybody likes rooting for the underdog.
Yeah.
You know, the one after that, number five, is Miracle, which I know my buddy Tim here probably watched Inside and Out.
Oh, yeah. We watched it. Not only that, but I I was only 7 years old when it happened, right? But it was a huge, huge moment in
sports. Oh, it was enormous. I mean, I don't even follow hockey. Right? I don't even like
and
hockey.
And let's not to forget the speech.
Yeah.
Right? The speech has been – how many times has that been duplicated or replicated in a locker room at a game? Oh, yeah. Not maybe word for word, but that's where they got it from, right?
The version of. Great film and great experience. I mean, again, true story. I was 14 when it happened. And like I said, I wasn't and still am not a hockey fan. But everybody was when that happened.
But you everybody get caught up was. In it, Tony. You oh, get yeah. caught up in it. You oh, can't it was, help. Whether you're a hockey fan or not, this is your country. This is the Olympics. This is the biggest stage. You got to remember Russia's team, they trained year round.
Yep.
Right.
They were
that team in the States was put together, and they got a lot of flack for putting that team together.
Yeah.
They were like, you know, the people that were the sponsors were like, what the hell are you doing? Where the hell are these guys? This isn't the team that we invited to camp. These aren't the guys that can get it done. But Herb Brooks said, this is the team that I'm putting on the ice. You made me the coach.
Yep.
This is the team. This is the team that gets it done. And it didn't start off well. The tournament didn't start off well for
you. No. Right?
So you've got the underdog story. You've got the American dream. You've got everything. You've got the whole country.
You got David and Goliath, literally. Yeah. I mean, it was Rocky Four before six years.
This was Rocky Four
happened.
Exactly.
You know, right? Like I said, I mean, I never even liked hockey. I mean, but you got caught up in it. You wanted them to win. I mean, it just took over the country.
Yeah.
I mean, Lake Placid became the center of the universe.
Yeah. My wife and I, when we were dating, we actually drove to Lake Placid.
Oh, really?
We didn't plan it. We went for a drive in the States and we end up in Lake Placid, but we went to the rink.
And, oh, really?
I got a picture. Pretty cool. And I'm sorry I don't have that with me, but I have a picture of standing in front. I still got chills just being in front of the arena. Right. And this is 17 years later. After it happened, and I, you know, stood outside the arena thinking, this is where, like, this is where a piece of history happened.
And it's not only is it history, but like you said, you know, I know you're Canadian, but I mean, you know, being American, mm-hmm. it's your country, tons mm-hmm. of pride. You're seeing all those flags in the stands. Yep. I mean, I could still hear, you know,
Al Michaels,
the call. I mean, I could still hear it in my head, you know, cause he was counting it down.
Yeah.
He was such a pro. He was like, you know, 10 seconds left. And then he's like, and Jim mm-hmm. Craig and yada, yada, and Mike Ruzioni, 8 seconds left. And then he's talking about them, you know, and then when
and how about that call, right? You believe in miracles?
Oh, as soon as he got to that two, you know, you knew it was over. And do you believe in miracles?
So I don't know if you know this or not, Tony, but for the movie, because of the fact that that happened and they tried it two or three times and they couldn't get it right. And they said, we're going to take the actual footage from the 1980 Olympics because they couldn't recreate Al Michaels. I don't think he believed it himself that it happened. So they used the actual footage, which I thought was amazing because they tried it two or three times, right? You can't like, you know, the actors are great and the actors, you know, you believe in a movie.
Yeah.
They just couldn't get this right. So they said, screw it. It might be a little grainy. It might be a little rough, but it's the emotions that you can't capture.
It worked. It worked. That's all that matters.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Great movie.
The next one after that, number four, we have Invincible, which is based in Philadelphia. So a little bit of a Rocky connection there.
Yeah.
And it's about a call. They had a call for walk-ons to try out for the Eagles. Yeah. And this tough little bartender it's a true story.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, it goes to show you, I mean, who knew? This guy made it on the Eagles. I mean, that's just insane.
Yeah, like a week before, he was playing street football, right? They were playing with cars were the sidelines
exactly. You
know, cage fences and the mud, and they're playing under the lights.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
Another, like, how much flack did they get when they announced, like, the city of Philadelphia went berserk, right? When they said, You're doing this? You're really doing this? This is what we've been reduced to?
Oh, when they announced the contest?
Yeah.
I mean, it's a walk-on? You know? Yeah. Oh, yeah. They were probably – because, I mean, look, Philly fans are hardcore fans. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, they take their sports seriously. Mm-hmm. I mean, so, yeah, they were like, what are we doing here? You know, but, I mean, hey, the guy made it on the team. Good for him.
Yeah, that's right.
So, speaking of a little guy making it on the team, number three comes in with Mr. Notre Dame, Rudy. Another true story. You know, I think actually all of them except for two are true stories.
Yeah.
Now that I'm looking at this list. Rudy, come on, man. Rudy. I mean, you could hear the chanting.
Rudy.
The little guy.
First time I saw that, same sort of thing, right? Like you're just rooting for him. Like you're just, you know, he's trying to first get into the school, right?
Yep.
And, he doesn't have the grades and he eventually gets into the school. Like it's just from top to bottom, a feel good movie. His friend dies, you know, wants to honor his friend, quits his job. You know, even his family isn't behind him in this one, you know, and that's awful hard to do when your family's not in, behind you, right?
Oh God. Yeah. I mean, if you don't have a support system, I mean, it's a lot tougher to do anything in life. Mm-hmm. I mean, you need a support system there. And, but yeah, he did it. He did it. The little guy made it.
Yeah. I like the fact that his teammates bought into it.
Right? Yeah.
When he showed up at practice, he was getting the holy hell beat right out.
Well, yeah. When they first saw him and, you know, just by size alone, they were like, come on, man, what are you doing? Yeah. You
know, when they walk in and start laying their jerseys on the desk and the coach says, you're an All-American. Act like it. He goes, I am. And he throws his sweater down and then one by one, they come in and said, he doesn't play. We don't play. You know,
awesome.
That's just the American dream. Not the American dream, but the dream.
Yeah. Right? No, God. Yeah. Yeah.
Your team, absolutely. Your brothers, your family, even his family came around, right? Everybody came around again.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So number two, we have a basketball movie, Hoosiers. Mm-hmm. Hoosiers, Mr. Gene Hackman.
Great movie.
Amazing movie. And like I said, I mean, I'm not a basketball fan, don't care for it, but this movie here, I mean, again, you have, it's kind of like the Titans when you have Denzel Washington.
Yeah.
You can't go wrong. You have Gene Hackman, you can't go wrong, but still the story. I love the scene where he tells, hey, get on his shoulders, take this measuring tape. Measure that hoop. Mm-hmm. He's like, what's it measure? 10 feet. It's the same back at Hickory. Let's go. No difference, boys. Yeah. No difference. Yeah. It's the same game. It's just a bigger stadium.
Yeah, that's right.
Great film. And then the last one on the list, again, not by any particular order, is Karate Kid, where the ultimate underdog getting beat up by the bully every day at school. Mm-hmm. Who comes back and wins our hearts and great film series where we'll touch base on this in another episode. We already kind of discussed that. It took on a life of its own, directed by a Rocky veteran, John G. Alvinson.
Yeah. One of his best. Eh?
Music by Mr. Bill Conti.
Yep.
So you have that.
A lot of Rocky connection there, I tell you.
You got that formula, you know, that and the underdog. Yeah. I mean, you know, it's like Derek Wayne Johnson. That's why he had King of the Underdogs.
Yeah.
John Alvinson was, you know, come on. He was the King of the Underdogs.
Yeah.
Look what he did. But great films, great films. I mean, you know, you want to root for the underdog. I mean, you know, it's easy to sit there and see the big tough guy go out and pound the puny little guy.
That's right.
But to see that little guy have heart and never give up,
yeah,
you know, keep coming after him, that says something.
And now we didn't, we didn't put those in an order because you know what? We were back and forth with this, Tony. We had a hard time. How do you put that in order? Like everybody's, you take those 10 movies and it's going to be different for everybody if you have to go 10 to 1. But the important thing is that the 10 are there.
Yeah.
Right. And I think that's what we got to put. I mean, because,
you know, somebody that feels more passionate about hockey, Miracle is going to be number one, you know, or whatever it may be. But I mean, and you can't because they're all.
Yeah.
They're all movies that make you stand up and cheer and, you know, root for the underdog. So, I mean, good stuff. Good stuff.
Yeah, great stuff. That was great. That was a great list. But speaking of other movies, it's been about a month since Top Gun Maverick came out. So I think anybody that was dying to see it like us has gone to see it. Anybody that maybe is waiting for, you know, streaming services or come out on Blu-ray, fast forward us a little bit. We're going to give you, we're not going to spoil it, but we're going to talk about it.
This is your spoiler alert.
Yeah. Just and I thought just before we do that, a few days ago, I was at Shannonville Speedway, which is about an hour and a half from my house here. It's in between, you know, Kingston and, not quite to Toronto, but, there's a racetrack up there. My two brother-in-laws, I got their motorcycles out. They had track day.
Oh, really?
And, it's just a great time. So my one brother-in-law hasn't drove a motorcycle in 15 to 20 years. So they got back into the track. Now it's not racing. They do get to open it up a little bit, but it's, it's like almost like a time trial. Like it's not an actual race, but they get to go out on the racetrack and open it up. And, that's, you know, they go out for, awesome. Five or six laps and then they'll come off, take a break, and then the next group will go and a different group will go.
So your brother-in-law's got the need for speed, huh?
Oh, the need for speed. He took my daughter for a ride on the
motorcycle.
He's got two bikes. One he just uses for the track.
Okay.
And then one he has for a street bike. And nice. She says, oh, I want to go for a ride. And he goes, well, I'll take you for a ride. And so off they went and came back. Oh, and cool. She's now she wants to ride a motorcycle. And my wife was like, you're not riding a motorcycle.
Right.
You're not getting a motorcycle. But that's we'll save that for another show. But
exactly.
I got a fun little video here we put together. And just some clips from the day of Shannonville. And then, like I said, the need for speed will lead us right into Top Gun.
Heard that? Let's watch it.
All right.
It's a beautiful day. The sun is shining. Puffy clouds in the air. Why? Because we are here at Shannonville. This is what it's all about. Green group, yellow group, advanced group. This is a novice day, only for novices. We've got BRB suspension here, turning it out, knocking it out. Everybody that's come here to BRB is now riding much better, gliding around the track, flying around the track. That's the way we like to see it here at Shannonville. Absolutely. This is one stupendous day. My goodness, my goodness, my goodness.
Well, that was pretty cool, man.
And yeah.
Pretty fast around that track.
Well, they went fast, but I think Maverick and the plane at the end really had the need for speed, right? So I thought it was fun just to add my brother-in-law's in the motorcycle and revving it up. And
no, that's pretty cool, man. But yeah, you're right. I mean, when that jet went between the two jets right here, Maverick came there because they were like, where is he?
Yeah. Good morning. Your captain's beacon. I love it. I love it. Just he never lost that. He never lost that edge. So guys, we are talking about, of course, Top Gun Maverick now.
Look at him.
You know what? Like this was what 3 years ago it was supposed to come up.
I think so too.
I know obvious reasons it didn't, but you know, some of us have been waiting for 30 years for this movie, right? So, and it didn't disappoint.
Oh God, no. God, no. Right?
Now you went
very
to,
very few films that I like as much or more than the original. Very few.
A couple of pictures of here of the Stallions here.
Yeah.
Hey, look at that picture.
And those two pretty ladies.
Oh, it's like a thorn between two roses, Tony.
Right? There it is.
I'm just kidding you, brother.
No, we all have our Navy shirt songs. My brother-in-law, my uncle, we're all in the
Navy. That's great. And then, I think we got another picture here.
Yeah, we got the tin of popcorn there.
How much popcorn was in that tin? Jesus.
Let's put it this way. That movie was 2 hours and 17 minutes long. I came home with popcorn.
Look at this. We didn't, you know, I was a little bit jealous when you showed me that picture. We didn't get anything like that. That looks like it came from Top Gun.
Right? I know. There's a lot of popcorn in there.
Yeah.
Good though.
And of course, speaking of thorns, we got the prickly one right here. Look at that.
The bearded one.
Yeah. The playoffs are still on. My team was still in it. You can tell by my clean shaven face, they have been eliminated. And speaking of that, I don't want to get off the topic of Top Gun here, but, Tampa Bay Lightning are in the finals against Colorado. So good luck to them, Tony.
Yeah. We'll see. Like I said,
anyways,
I'm a hockey fan. My friends who are. Or into it, so that's
fine. But what did you think of the movie Maverick?
It's fantastic. I mean, it really was. I mean, like I said earlier, very few films do I think are as good or better. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't say it was better. It was definitely as good, or maybe a smidge. I mean, it was right up there, right from the beginning of the film when it got you on there, showing the same type of planes, coming off the aircraft carrier.
Yep.
Danger Zone's playing. You know, you're into that. Just fantastic. I mean, I was really wondering about the storyline, where they were going to go with it, because obviously we knew Goose's kid was in it. But I was wondering how it was going to be intertwined in it, how he was going to play into it. You know, we heard about Iceman being in it. I just loved it. It was so well done. So, you know, all the nods to the original were done classy, done, you know, perfect. They weren't cheesy or carbon copies. I mean, come on. Well, I mean, what'd you think when you saw it come on the screen? You know, you're like,
oh my goodness. Like when they played the Danger Zone, like I said, my daughter had not seen Top Gun, and that's on me and my wife. But, so we watched it. We actually watched it, literally before we went to the theater.
Yeah.
So we put it on because, and she loved the first one, right? And then we walked out, drove to the theater, and it was just like a continuation, right?
There you go.
But I like the fact that we still get Maverick, that cocky, arrogant, you know, flyboy that won't grow up. And their question, like, you know, 30 years in the military should be admiral. And here you are, captain.
Yeah.
Maverick.
Yeah. You know? And anybody that knows ranks in the Navy, I mean, he didn't go far.
No.
I'll tell you that.
No.
He did not go far.
He's done it all, right? Like, he's done it all.
I mean, he was a lieutenant when he was with when he first came on the first movie.
So he's been demoted, right?
There's two levels of lieutenant when you're in there. And then after that is captain.
Yeah.
So he never went past the second level of lieutenant and then captain. That was it.
Yeah.
He obviously pissed off a lot of people along the way.
Yeah.
But luckily enough,
he had a hell of a time doing it.
Iceman.
No, that's right. So,
you know, it was good to see him in the movie.
Yeah. I like the fact that, you know, he's got all these hotshot rookies and, they challenge him right off the bat. And he's like, what do you have in mind? And they're like 200 pushups. He goes, boy, that's a lot of pushups. And then you see them doing the pushups, right? Cause he's just,
well, think about the, there's a nod
apart.
There's a nod to the first one too. You know, Goose and Maverick are in the bar. Maverick goes and hits on Charlie, you know, and the next day she comes walking in. She's the instructor.
Yeah.
What happens in this one? Maverick goes in the bar.
Yeah.
Acts a fool, you know, and gets tossed out of the bar by all the pilots.
Yeah.
He comes walking in. You know, I mean, it was well done. It wasn't just like, oh, that's what they're doing.
Yep.
But yeah, I mean, when hey, come on, old man, what do you got? You know, and then they see what he can do. They're like, holy crap. You know, this guy's not playing around.
Well, they didn't go back to the volleyball scene, but they did have, quite a good time. They had a scene on the beach.
And yeah, the football.
I thought when the commanding officer couldn't find everybody and he came and he says, what the hell is this? And it's team building. You know,
and it was true though.
Build a team. It was, right?
It was true.
Because they didn't like him. They didn't like each other.
Yep.
Right? But, it's one of these uplifting team building moments. Like you're going to a situation that they were going into. You gotta trust everybody. Right?
Yeah. Oh, God.
You can't just be on hate and I'm better than you are.
Well, that's it. I mean, when you get to that level, they all think they're the best. Mm-hmm. You know, just like, they said in the original, you know, you're probably all wondering who's the best, you know, and they all think they're the best.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, and they are, but you know, there's only one best.
Yeah.
But it was so well done. It really was. The storyline of Goose's son, I mean, I'm sorry, and how it connected with Maverick. I like the plot line that they added to that with Layers, where the mom wanted him not to go to the academy.
Yeah.
She didn't want him to be a pilot.
Yeah. And she, you know what? He was like the sacrificial lamb, right? Like he made it Goose's son think that it was him blocking and not his mom because, you know, he didn't want her to think that she didn't want to be a pilot. So he was the one that was pretending I'm the one that's preventing you from do this. Hate me, not hate her.
Yeah.
Right? So
very well done. You know, and of course, you know, you have all the scenes in San Diego. It was shot in San Diego again at the Naval Station in North Beach. A lot of those places are like Rocky fans. There's a lot of Top Gun fans out there. They have locations from the original and from this one. Tougher one with this one. They can't really go out on the base, obviously, without military ID. In the original, they had the house. They had the Great Balls of Fire scene.
Yeah.
You know, stuff like that you could see. But it's filmed in beautiful San Diego again. That Mustang that he flew in the film is Tom Cruise's plane.
Yeah.
That's his own plane. I mean, so that's, pretty cool as well.
Jennifer Connelly, they interviewed her about, and she'd never gotten in a plane, like, right? So first of all, she'd never worked with Tom Cruise, and then he got her into the plane and she doesn't like flying.
Oh, geez.
She said, it's Tom Cruise. I'm not going to say no.
Right.
And I don't want to think that I'm scared. So she got into that plane and, I don't think she knew what to expect, but, you know, he's doing the flips and, and the twirls and stuff like that. Cause I mean, he's licensed for everything, right?
Yeah. Yeah. No, he's a licensed pilot. I mean, they all flew the training they actually did. The Navy gave him the actual training to fly those jets.
Yeah.
You know, and I mean, he already went through it, you know, in the original one, he was taught and stuff, but he already went through it. So in this one here in particular, he was kind of like the veteran, obviously.
Yeah.
And then the whole new batch of recruits, everybody got sick, you know, was pulling too many G's. The young lady though, who played Phoenix, the girl pilot, she didn't get sick. She was the only one who didn't get sick.
Oh, that's, just cause women are tougher than the men. Exactly. Right, ladies?
Points.
Am I right or what?
Give Tim 1 point. Let's write that there. There you
go. I don't get many, so I'll take that, Tony.
Take what you can get. But it was good. I mean, like I said, I like that they had the, you know, the hangman was the, you know, the ice man of the, of the group, you know, and Goose, obviously, you know, who, son was Rooster. It was so well done. And like I said, I really liked the storyline that they played in there where he was torn. If I take this kid on this mission with me, he may not come back because technically he's not ready.
Yeah.
You know, but if I don't take him, he's going to hate me forever because I didn't pick him. You know, and then it just was really, really well done. It really was.
And the fact that at the end they had to steal an F-14.
How great is that?
Right?
Well, you know what though? I'm not going to lie. I kind of saw that coming because when they were talking about the base of where they had to go, they said, there's a couple even, they even got a couple of our old F-14s there.
Yeah.
So but I kind of saw just that coming.
You know, he gets in it and he says, well, it's been a minute, you know, and, he's in the back and he's like, what the hell is like?
I know. Rooster goes,
he's trying to, no, I mean, obviously we got a little bit of Hollywood flair in there because a pilot is going to know how to fly that.
Right? Sure.
Even though he's never seen it.
I would think they all have the same, but, I mean, you know,
Let's just take the Hollywood, factor into it. And it was so awesome. Everybody in the theater was just like, yes, this is awesome. Great.
I mean, the flying scenes were amazing.
Yeah.
My God, they were just something else. I mean, the way they were hugging the land. I mean, it was going through little canyons. I mean, it was something else. It was.
And then I gotta be honest. One of my favorite scenes is they were going to shut this project down, right? Like this mission down. And then all of a sudden he's like, what the hell is that? And
how great was
Maverick,
that?
Right? And he's like, Captain Maverick, we do not have you scheduled this morning for a flight. Goes, well, yeah, you know, and it's like, you bring that plane back right now.
How great was that?
Now, that was obviously so cool. That is over the top Hollywood, but oh my God, that was, I could watch that scene over and over again, right?
Like when you watch it, when you watch them really, really, he's pushing the envelope and you see all the pilots are getting more and more into it and they're watching. I mean, and then the theater I was in cheered when he did it. I mean, they cheered, literally cheered. It's such a good movie. Like I said, we don't want to give away the entire movie.
Nope.
Obviously if you're listening in this far, you already saw it.
Mm-hmm.
So we're really not telling you something you don't know, but excellent movie. Very well done. You know, it's as good as the first.
Yeah.
I
don't think anybody knows this or not, but if you look closely and maybe if it comes out on streaming services or you buy it on Blu-ray, get the pause button. You've got to do it quite quickly, but there's a couple pilots in the background that, if you blink, you miss them, but, they were pretty important to the movie. I'm going to bring them up here, a picture of them here. And, look at these guys right here. Hey, we got the Stallion and we got the Canuck.
Look at them.
And, I tell you right now, I don't know I must have had the G-force or something. Cause look at my, I'm like sucked into that helmet or something, but
that hell,
calm and cool. And I look like I just threw up.
Oh my God. That's so hysterical. That's great though. Look at that. Yeah. There's a website. What's my call sign?
What's my call sign? If you go to What's My Call Sign, guys, you can pick your call sign. They'll give you one. They can pick out your helmet. Just have a little fun with that.
Well, you can have fun with it too, because it also asks you questions.
Yeah.
Before I picked it and put Stallion.
Yeah.
It asks you questions.
Now what were you, what were some of the call signs that were given you? Do you remember?
I was actually Panther before that.
Oh, were you?
Yeah, so that was kind of cool. I'm okay with that. My wife, Mrs. Stallion, did it, and she was Tornado.
Tornado, yeah.
Which is pretty appropriate. She's a 5-foot Italian lady, so, you know, that's about right.
That's great. No, that's great. So I thought maybe if you'd like, do you have any trivia this week?
I have a little bit. A little bit. It's mostly the original Top Gun. I do have some Rocky trivia as well. Yeah.
For those of you listening, we pulled up our retro 80s trivia night.
Look at that.
Post. That's probably 1982 right there, eh?
Yeah, that neon belongs right in Blockbuster.
Oh my goodness. Okay. So if you're listening to us on Spotify or iTunes and you want to see that, we are on YouTube and check us out. But
so let's see here. We'll do a couple of the older Top Gun one. Like I said, I only had a couple of the older ones. So the aircraft carrier that was in Top Gun, the original one. What was the name of the aircraft carrier?
The aircraft carrier.
Yeah. So yeah,
in the original Top Gun.
In the original Top Gun, it was named after a known ship that does not go in water.
Does not go in water.
It's named after a very well-known ship that's out in space. Let's put it that way.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to say Odyssey. I've got no idea, Tony. Right. I got no idea.
That's okay. I didn't know it either until I looked it up. It was the USS Enterprise.
Oh, really? You know what? I don't remember that. Yeah. I think I was so taken back with the planes landing and taking off that
I just looked
I'm not up. Even sure if I heard the dialogue.
I know, right? You know what though? I wonder if I have to go pay attention to see, because I didn't know it either until I looked up the question. Mm-hmm. I'd have to look back to see if it was said or is it just on the ship and we just didn't read it. Mm-hmm. But I do have a handful of Rocky questions.
Okay,
depending on you if you want to tackle them or not. So what round did Rocky knock down Apollo? In the original Rocky.
Oh, round one.
That is correct, my friend.
Yeah. And because the look on Apollo's face was, what the hell just happened?
He's like, my God, what is that? I'm supposed to be knocking him down.
Yeah.
So, okay. So you got that one pretty quick. So the next one we'll do is, what is the name of the meatpacking company that Paulie works for?
Well, Shamrock Meat Company.
I was going to say, I know you know this.
Yeah, because it was on the back of his robe.
Yep, Shamrock Meats.
I love that scene, right? Because Mickey says, "What the hell is that? I trained to be a fighter, not a billboard."
Paulie gets $3,000. I get the robe.
Shrewd. I loved it. God.
All right, here's another one. I know you know. Okay, what's the cologne commercial that Rocky is doing?
Oh my God,
in Rocky II.
I love this. I love this whole scene. You're not going to get me this week, Stallion. Brute aftershave.
No, what?
Brute what? Aftershave.
Brute. You sure?
Is it Brute?
Wait. It starts with a B.
Oh, Beast. Beast. Wait, did I say Brute? I'm sorry. It's Beast.
There you go. I'll say Brute is actually real.
Yeah, yeah. Beast aftershave, take one. Beast. I can't believe I
take that one. Close one. That's right. All right. So we'll do two more. Mm-hmm. Rocky was knocked out only one time in the entire Rocky series. What fight?
The first fight with Clubber Lang, Rocky III.
Hey, good damn. You barely even took a breath on that one, my friend.
My goodness. Because I think I was, I don't want to say I was crying, but,
that was very upset.
I was like, what the hell? Like, I knew he wasn't ready.
Right.
Wow.
Like, you answered that one quick. All right. Last but not least, Rocky in 1976 was nominated for 10 Academy Awards. How many did they win? And if you get this one quickly, I'll have to ask you what they won for.
Okay. He won Best Picture.
Correct.
He won Best, I want to say Screenplay, but I know Best Picture. Mm-hmm. And best soundtrack?
Who does best picture?
Who does why best picture?
Why is it a best picture? Because of the
writing.
Director.
The director, John G. Avildsen.
Yeah, best director, best picture. And one that, unless you're like, I don't even know why you would know this, but best editing. That was the other one they won.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. I knew obviously best picture. It didn't win for best, music, eh?
No, didn't get, it got nominated. It was nominated for music, it was nominated for screenplay.
Yeah.
And then everybody was nominated. Stallone, Talia Shire. Yep. Burgess Meredith, mm-hmm. Burt Young.
Yep.
Everybody was nominated.
I apologize to the Avildsen family that I did not know that.
All good.
But you know what? I knew I won best picture. I knew that he was director and he had a huge, huge part in that movie. So
million to one shot, right? Million to one shot.
Million to one shot.
Screenplay, the first movie he does is best picture.
Yep. No, that's, that was, you know what? Other than me screwing up the aftershave, that's not bad.
You got those really, you got those fast. I'm gonna have to find harder ones. Like,
that's
really,
not bad.
I have the last one up here. I wrote up on top.
Okay,
this one I thought was gonna be too hard for the average fan, but since you got those so quick, you're obviously not the average fan. So, what is the name of Rocky? What is the name of Gazzo's driver?
Oh, Buddy.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah.
All right. I give up.
Next week,
I'll give you one more. One more before we go. One more. Right. I know we got to go.
Yeah.
So what does Gazzo say to Rocky about Buddy?
Some guys, they just hate for no reason.
Hate for no reason. Capiche?
Capiche? And here's 50 bucks.
You're too good, my friend.
Your girl have a nice time, right?
You're too good.
Yeah. How do you know her name?
Yeah.
Canaries flying around the dock. Hey, I hear things.
You are too good, my friend.
Well, listen, this was too good. I enjoy this, Tony. And I hope everybody watching and listening now.
Thanks
to the Last Action Heroes podcast network that we have joined. You can watch us. You can listen to us. Follow us on Instagram. Tony, you're on Instagram.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Stallion22 Tony.
And I am at Tim Wistard. And, guys, this is round 14 podcast. Drop us a comment, hit that subscribe button, hit the like button.
Please, please.
Give us some suggestions on things you'd like to see. Maybe
comments, top 10. Criticism, complaints. Yeah,
if we left one of your, underdog movies, I don't know if we actually did because we covered 10 of them. Now, I'm not saying there's not another underdog movie out there, but I think we picked probably the top 10. I think everybody's going to agree.
Definitely the most well-known named.
Yeah, that's right. Now,
but I mean, we got comments. So when we did the top 10 Stallone movies, we got comments. Hey, what about, you know, they listed off two or three movies. Hey, what about this? What about that?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what about Escape Plan or what about whatever it was?
Specialist came in there and.
I mean, there's always going to be something, but that's why we want you to mention it to us.
Yeah.
Maybe we can touch base on it. Maybe we'll do another top 10 that did not include the first top 10.
Yeah, that's right.
So we'll see. But yeah, as always,
next week I'm gonna dig deep and I'm gonna challenge the Stallion.
Oh boy.
Right, and I'm gonna get some really hard ones next week. But this is great. I enjoy this, and I look forward to doing next week. Anyways, guys, thanks very much for tuning in and having a good time with us.
We appreciate it, guys. We'll see you next week. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening.
Guys. See
Take
ya.
Care.